We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's going on, Orlando Magic fans? Welcome to the Six Man Show postgame live presented by Rock'em. Magic lose a third straight heartbreaker against a playoff Western Conference team, this time to the LA Clippers, 197. That one to me hurts worse than the other two in its own unique way. The other two, I thought the Magic were not good enough to win the game and didn't deserve it. And to an extent, I think tonight is the same way. But I thought the Magic were more deserving to win tonight than they were in the other two games. And so to get that close and to just not make a couple plays at the end and fall short really, really hurts. However, I'm definitely more positive after tonight's performance than the other two, because I felt like we belonged in the same conversation as the Clippers tonight. And so I'll give the Magic credit for that. But anyway, welcome to the show. We'll talk obviously a lot more about this game tonight, but welcome. I'm producer Kevin. Glad you're here. Welcome to the show. This is the Six Man Show Postgame Live presented by Rock'em. Rock'em, the presenting sponsor of the Six Man Show Postgame Live all season long. They've been awesome. Really fun to work with them this season. They're the world's largest sock store and they're located in Orlando, just down the road from Kia Center. They sell really cool and innovative socks and underwear for some of your favorite sports teams and other brands. I got to show off these ones they just sent me. These are some brand new stuff boxers. Are you kidding me? Look at these. I don't know. If you're in any kind of wild and wacky undergarments here, there's nothing more wild and wacky than some stuff boxers. So check them out at rock'em.com. Obviously, we're big fans of them, and a lot of their employees are big fans of the Orlando Magic. So definitely check them out and use that code MAGIC20. I'll get you 20% off your order at rock'em.com. And obviously, big shout out to Rock'em for sponsoring the show all season long. It's hard to believe, guys. This is game number 73. That's wild. We now have 9 games remaining in the season. In some ways, that's great. In some ways, might not be so great. We'll look at, obviously, a little bit later, some of the scores and how they impact the standings. But so far, it has not been a good night for the Magic. I'll just a little spoiler alert for you there. We did get a super chat here from Ty. Mr. TV says, I'm not sure if it's P5's handles. Teammates not getting open enough, but we desperately need a ball handler decision maker. Thank you for that super chat, Ty. It's a mixed bag for me. Part of it is, and I think the biggest part of it is, and I had to remind myself of this down the stretch of all of these games, and especially the one tonight, Paolo is 21. That's what I think it comes down to. Paolo Banchero is 21 years old. And I think 26, 27-year-old Paolo doesn't make these same mistakes that we were seeing repeatedly. Paolo tonight with 7 turnovers. Especially, I think he had 2 in the final minute, something like that. Really, really tough. And so on the one hand, Paolo, I thought, had a pretty good game tonight, the exception being some of the decision-making down the stretch, which is something we've seen from this team over these 3 games. But again, I have to remind myself, and especially tonight, I'm reminding myself that this team is super young. 21-year-old Franz, Paolo, 22-year-old Franz. Just kind of is what it is. And young teams lose games like these, but these are all learning experiences, hopefully, for this team. Another super chat coming in here from Soul Train says, really impressed by Suggs lately. Suggs, I mean, he is just, he's the heart and soul of this team. He really is. The players have said it. Fans say it. I mean, it's just, you can't argue with it. He is the lifeblood of this team. And man, when we were rolling in that fourth quarter and Suggs, you know, forced that turnover and got the crowd into it and everything, I felt like we were in good shape. I felt like, okay, finally, we're going to see one out. And we didn't. We didn't. So credit to the Clippers. I mean, the Clippers, if you ask me, that team is built for the postseason. That team is absolutely built for the postseason. I know we've heard that many times about the Clippers, and they've always, you know, come up short in the last couple seasons. But with the pieces that they have around them, I think obviously depth is going to be an issue. But man, James Harden, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, great scorers of the basketball. Two of the best defenders in the league, and James Harden isn't necessarily a slouch when he tries. I think they're a really, really good team, and the Magic gave him everything they could tonight. They mentioned on the broadcast, but freaking, what was it? How much Kawhi played 30, just under 38 minutes tonight. Clippers gave us their best shot, and it came down to the final possessions there. Anyway. All right, let's go to the chat. I'm going to try to, this is what I want to do. I really want to kind of breeze through some of this today. I'm not going to hit every message. We'll look at the box score. I really want to talk about what's happening around the league and in the standings and in the coming days. Obviously, the Magic play again tomorrow. But it's been a really significant night for the Magic in the standings. And there's still several games going on. So there's a lot of other moves that can be made. But the Magic are finding themselves in a very difficult position now because of these three results here. But anyway, we'll talk more about that in a second. Going to the chat now. Rom says, still a good game, but a heartbreaker. We should not lose the next four. That'd be nice. Speaking of which, I'm glad you said that. Still a good game. That was a very entertaining basketball game. I thoroughly enjoyed that. Obviously hated how it ended, but as a neutral, I would have loved that game. I loved how defensive it was. Obviously there were a lot of turnovers that were kind of sloppy, but I just, especially the back and forth in the fourth quarter was really fun. Jeremy says, three in a row in what feels like the same way. Sort of, yes. End of the game, yes. Magic in a game late, not being able to make enough plays down the stretch, and a more experienced team doing it. The only way that I feel like tonight is different, and the reason why I'm more optimistic tonight than I have been in the previous two games, is our starters weren't trash. They weren't good. Don't get me wrong. They were not good. Franz, not good tonight. Paolo, I thought was okay, except for taking too many threes again. Wendell was bad. But to be fair, he got hit in the face early on. But regardless, they were better than they were on Wednesday, that's for sure. Wednesday, the starters were awful. Tonight, Jalen Suggs plays well. Paolo, like I said, I thought played pretty well. And you didn't have to be totally and completely bailed out by your bench, although your bench was the reason you were kind of in the game at the end. And I'll talk more about Mo Wagner in a little bit, who was my MVP for the night. So in some ways, yes. If it was the same script, in some ways, a little bit different. Excuse me. Thanks Praises says, Gary, Jalen, Paolo, and Caleb should have all been on the floor for those last possessions, period. Yeah, it's tough. Obviously, you need a three at the end there. Credit to Franz for getting open. It's hard to do that. It's super hard in this league. When teams know you need a three to find a way to get open from beyond the arc, especially with so little time on the clock, and you know they're going to foul, which, by the way, it looked like, I don't remember who it was, maybe Kawhi, somebody was fouling Franz on that three in the corner. Would I have loved to see Caleb find a way to get in there? Sure. The thing with Caleb is he hasn't quite yet become a I don't want to say elite, a very good off-the-ball player yet. We're not seeing him flying around screens and stuff to get open. To be fair, how much of that is scheme that the Magic aren't doing versus how much he's able to do it, I don't know. But we don't see him flying around screens a lot to try and get open. And in a situation like this where you have to get a quick three, that's what you need. And so, yes, I would love to see more three-point shooters out there, but, you know, it's rough. Magic bound, why didn't Mosley challenge? Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough situation for Mosley there because if you think it's a 50-50 call, you can challenge it, but then you lose your timeout. And so what the situation then becomes is how, you know, Paul George gave them a 3-point lead there with, what was it, like 6 seconds left? I don't remember how much time was left. 5, 7, whatever it was. Then you have to go the length of the floor and get a three without a timeout. Or on the other hand, if you think it's a 50-50 shot, you take that challenge and you win it, then you get the ball only down one. So it's, I personally do wish he would have challenged, but I understand why he didn't. Because if he wasn't very sure, I understand why you want to save that timeout so you can advance the ball. I get it. I do wish he challenged it, though. Oh, man. Didalla says, well, this feels like crap. Yeah, a three-game losing streak. Not a great time for it either. Not a great time for it. Isaac talking about Paolo's threes. Never in the flow of the offense, just lazy walk-up threes. Yeah, a couple more of those tonight. It's hard to understand. He had a couple that were in the offense, and the one that he made tonight was in the offense, in the flow of the offense. But, yeah, it's kind of disappointing there. Santi says, my heart has been getting broken all week. I love my Magic, but these have hurt. These have hurt really bad. But again, I'm trying to convince myself that these are learning experiences for this young team. Especially a guy like Paolo tonight, who in the final minute of this game, obviously he hit a big bucket, which is great. But then the last couple possessions were a mess, really. A learning experience for him, hopefully against two guys that if I were him, I'd be watching their game on both sides of the ball in Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Two elite scorers. Two elite defenders. And so, you know, he's 21. He should have moments like this against two of the best defenders in basketball. That should happen. The fact that it doesn't happen more often is credit to Paolo. He's 21. Soul Train says, Suggs has been the most important player at times lately. Agree. Warp 10 says, I need a Kevin post-game therapy session tonight. I'm getting a little worried. Here's the thing. Here's what I'll give you to chew on. The Orlando Magic, no matter how we finish this regular season, the Orlando Magic are not going to play the Los Angeles Clippers in the first round of the playoffs or Sacramento Kings. And in some ways, they're not playing the Golden State Warriors. While the Warriors are the 10 seed in the West, I don't think they're a very good team. They do have weapons like a Steph Curry that puts you away on Wednesday night. And no matter the team you play in the first round, they're not going to have that guy. They're going to have some guys that are comparable. But you will not play the Clippers in the first round. You will not play the Kings. Those two are better teams than you will play in the first round, if you ask me. And so for me, that's where the silver lining is. It's almost like, you know, if you're doing kind of strength training and stuff, you know, as you build muscle, let's say you're lifting 200 pounds, you're struggling, you're pushing really hard. You can't get up 200. You get really close, but you can't quite get there. Then someone gives you 150 and it's easy, right? I'm not saying it's going to be easy in the playoffs. It's not. But I'm saying if there's a silver lining, you're not playing this Clippers team in the playoffs. And again, I have to reiterate, the Clippers gave you their best shot tonight. That was the Los Angeles Clippers' best shot. You can see it in the stats, in the minutes that were played. That was their best shot. And it took them a great possession there at the end. And then a terrific shot by Paul George over Jonathan Isaac to put the game away. That's why I'm not as devastated or frustrated tonight as I have been with the other two. Just a couple plays missed. Oh, Peacecraft. Yeah. Two games in a row with late game shenanigans. Missing key free throws. Poor play from Paolo in crucial moments. Missing key free throws. I wanted to talk about this. The Magic, I believe, were 9 of 9 from the free throw line going into the fourth quarter. It was something like that. I know they started 9 of 9. I don't know if they were 9 of 9 going into the fourth, but it was around there. And they ended 11 of 15 for the game. So they went something like, they went 2 for 6 in their last 6 free throws. After we start 9 of 9, after the horrible free throw shooting we had on Wednesday, start 9 of 9, and then we just kind of collapsed. Mo Wagner went 0 for 2 from the line. I know Franz missed one. Paolo missed one, and that's it. Yeah, those are your misses. Those are your misses. Yeah, tough in the fourth quarter. Oh, man. Yeah, Gary says the Ingles to Mo connection. Again, all right, I'll take this as my opportunity to talk about Mo Wagner. Mo Wagner, for me, was the MVP of this game for the Magic tonight. I really thought he was. I really did. A couple times tonight, both in the first half, but then especially in the second half, when this team felt kind of down and out of it, Mo Wagner came into the game and just was super assertive against an interior defense that he was facing without Zubac for the most part, against Mason Plumlee for the most part. He was facing them and just took over, said, this guy cannot stop me. So I'm going to take over and I'm going to score. Credit to him for being assertive. Credit to Joe Ingles for finding him. I thought Mo Wagner was the MVP for this team. I really did. I think without him, this game might have gotten away from the Magic. Joseph Chubb, this is interesting, says 7-30 when we're not winning after three quarters. I don't know why I'm not hearing anyone else talk about this. Well, I didn't know that. That's an interesting stat. So only seven, you know, fourth quarter come from behind wins. Now, it doesn't mean the Magic couldn't have been behind in the fourth quarter later and come back. But I'm saying down, headed to the fourth. That's very interesting. 7-30. Not great. That is not great. Ross says, Paolo turnover absolutely killed us. Yeah. Rough. Thanks, Praises says, ladies love the stuff fundies. Facts, man. Facts. They'll also love it more if you get if you save 20% on those undies by using that code MAGIC20 at rock'em.com. Lots of people talking about the Paolo turnovers. I know it's rough. Steven says 17-4 run in the fourth, up 94-89 with 4:39 left. Then PG-13 had to spoil it all. Yeah. So you get outscored 11-3 in the final 4 minutes or so. That's rough. That is rough. But again, credit to the Clippers. It's what they do, you know? It's crazy. Man, I really thought we were going to win this game tonight, guys. I really did, especially at that moment. Rough. Yeah, Ajori, this is how I feel. It says, we played way better tonight. Can't get too mad at this loss compared to the last two. Also, Paolo should watch Kawhi tapes. His fundamentals are top-notch. Yes, I love Kawhi. How he gets in the paint. When he does choose to back, he doesn't do a ton of backing guys down. Paul George does that more, but yeah, again, two great guys for Paolo to watch. Axis says, we better take it out on the Grizzlies by 30. Yeah, second night of back-to-back is tough. Grizzlies haven't played since Wednesday. They've got 2 days off. It's going to be tough, but I hope we can do that. Grizzlies are not a good basketball team, and we owe them. We got one of our, probably, if you ask me, like our first or second worst loss of the season was that game in Memphis. Got to be better against them tomorrow. Robert says, bring back the 9-game winning streak starting lineup, please. Wow, that would be wild. You start Goga and Anthony Black again? Anthony Black again. I wish you could have found a way to play some minutes in this game, but whatever. Oof. In 8 says, Wendell is not a starting caliber center in the NBA. Wendell has not been good lately. There is no way to sugarcoat that one. Wendell has been pretty disappointing. Steven says, we're 2-8 against the Pacific Division this season. SMH only beating the Lakers and Suns at home. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, we're talking about the Clippers and the Lakers and the Suns and the Kings. I mean, that's... those are some of the best teams in basketball, you know? Again, we got to remember our place in the league. While we are overachieving this season, while we are ahead of schedule, 2-8 against those teams when, you know, our best players are as young as they are, that doesn't really surprise me. Obviously, we'd love to be better, but doesn't really, really surprise me. Didalo says, Clippers are tough, man. You have to deal with at least two of Kawhi, Paul George, Harden, and... WB. Why am I blanking on who WB is? Who is WB? Who are you talking about WB? I don't know who WB is. Who's WB? I don't know. Are you talking about Russell Westbrook maybe? Oh, WB being Westbrook. Oh, okay. Never mind. At all times. And then Zubac feasting against Dell. It's just a matter if they want to show up. Yeah, that's the thing. I think they said on the broadcast the 18th ranked defense in the league. No. That's because of injuries and because of lack of, you know, effort. When this team tries, that is a top 10, maybe top 5 defense in the league. Like, they are tough.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, Di Dallas. I hated this. Joe Ingles tapping the ball to a Clipper player when the rebound fell within four blue jerseys was brutal. Brutal. Hated that. Joe Ingles does that all the time, and it's usually fine, but that was not a great moment. Not a great moment for Joe. Oh, man. Do you believe in says, how are we going to get five straight and get a treat from Luke? Well, you got a chance starting tomorrow. And we'll talk more about the schedule here in a little bit. But a lot more winnable games coming up in this stretch before it gets hard again to close out the season. All right. We're going to take a moment to look at the box score here. Again, I don't want to take a lot of time. Again, it's a pretty underwhelming box score because I really want to talk about what's happening around the rest of the league. And the standings and obviously the spreadsheet and all that good stuff. Franz tonight, 13 points, 5 of 13 from the field, 0 of 3 from 3, including the 2 in the final few seconds there, 3 of 4 from the free throw line, 3 boards, 3 assists, 2 steals, and a block. Only one turnover, but not Franz's best game. Franz is struggling right now. Again, can't really sugarcoat it. Really need Franz to start playing better as we get into the postseason. But it feels like we're running out of time for that. Paolo, I thought tonight was a lot better than he was, you know, on Wednesday. 23 points for him. If you take away the three-point shooting, which he was 1 of 6, he was 7 for 12 from the field. Got to the rim a lot. Obviously got a lot of easy dunks there in the fourth quarter. Went 6 of 7 from the line. You love to see that. 8 boards, 2 assists, 2 steals. But yes, the dreaded 7 turnovers, including 2, if I remember correctly, in the final minute. Those hurt. Like, those very much the difference in this game, those turnovers. Whether it was the ones at the end or ones earlier in the game, 7 turnovers is going to lose you games. We already talked about Wendell. Bad night for Wendell. Just 2 points, 5 boards. Only getting 5 rebounds in 23 minutes when the Clippers missed 44 shots. Yeah, not great. Not great. Gary, glad to see Gary back. I think he's a huge difference maker for this team. Ends up with 8 points, 3 of 6 from the field, and 1 of 3 from three. Hit his only free throw. Jalen, love Jalen. Obviously, maybe didn't shoot the ball particularly great from inside the arc tonight. 6 of 14, but 2 of 4 from three. Hit his only free throw. Also had 5 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, 5 total stocks for Jalen. I thought Jalen was terrific tonight. Jonathan Isaac, quiet night for him compared to how he's been playing lately. 3 points, hit a 3 to get that. Had 5 boards, an assist, a steal, 2 blocks, including a really, really big one, which was really exciting. Caleb Houston tonight, get this, he took and made a two. Went 2 of 3 from 3-point line, 3 of 4 from the field in total. I thought Caleb played pretty well tonight, especially considering he only played 14 minutes. Came in and did his thing pretty well. Cole Anthony started really well tonight. Didn't necessarily finish the best. 8 points on 3 of 10 from the field, 2 of 5 from three. 3 boards, 2 blocks for Cole, which is always fun. But yeah, the ill-advised turnaround fall-away jumper over Kawhi Leonard in the fourth quarter there, did not love that at all. That is not the kind of play you want to do. I love the confidence, I guess, but yikes. Joe Ingles tonight, 5 points for him in 18 minutes. Did go 1 of 2 from three. I loved Joe Ingles' pass when he was on the ground. Like, what a brilliant play. Mo maybe should have even converted that, but great play by Joe there in that moment. And then, like I said earlier, my MVP for the night, Mo Wagner, I thought was terrific. A difference maker, 12 points, 9 boards in just 18 minutes, 2 assists, a steal. I thought Mo Wagner was terrific tonight, and the reason the Magic were in this game down the stretch. Looking at the Clippers, just a couple things to point out. Kawhi Leonard, 29 and 11 on 12 of 21 from the field. He was elite. Also had 5 assists, 4 steals, 2 blocks. Good grief. That guy's a monster. You hold Paul George all night long. 12 points, 4 of 14 shooting. But of course, he hit the one that really mattered there down the stretch to put the Clippers up 3, the lead that the Magic could not come back from. And then James Harden tonight, you hold him too. 11 points, 3 of 12 from the field. 8 boards, 4 assists, 4 steals. Hate to see that. But again, 11 points on 3 of 12 shooting for James Harden. I mean, defensively, you couldn't ask for much more from the Magic tonight. This is a game that will actually probably help their defensive rating. Like, it was really, really well defended by the Magic. But just not enough. Not enough offense on the other end. Looking at some of the team stats tonight, Magic win the second and fourth quarters. Losing the third quarter there, really slow third quarter start, which we've seen several times this season. Magic actually lose points in the paint. That's interesting. Clippers get 19 fast break points. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but I would be surprised if they average 19 fast break points. I would guess the Clippers are a little bit of a slower team. That seems like a lot. I hate to see the Magic give up that many, regardless of how many the Clippers usually average. Giving up 19 to the Clippers should not be happening. 36 bench points for the Magic. 14 turnovers for the Magic. They did have 10 in the first half, if I'm not mistaken. So to have 4 in the second half is pretty impressive, but 16 for the Clippers. So good job by the Magic once again. Let's look at some of these shooting stats really fast here before we look at some of these scores. Clippers shoot 48% from the field. Magic shoot 44%. Clippers go 33% from the three-point line. They only take 24 threes tonight. Magic go 10 of 29. Magic end up shooting 11 of 15 from the free throw line. Again, below 80%. I mean, below 75% this time. 73%. Just not good enough. It stinks because you start 9 of 9. But wow. End up 11 of 15, and it really costs you. You miss 4 free throws in a 3-point game. Man, that's rough. You get out-rebounded by the Clippers. Second game in a row, you get out-rebounded. Very uncharacteristic for this team. You do have 8 blocks, which was really fun tonight. Jonathan Isaac, Cole Anthony, getting in on the action, especially tonight. So, yeah, not the best there. Not the best for the Magic. Let's just keep on rolling here. Let's do the scores and the standings and all that good stuff. Then we'll come back to the chat. Obviously, the Magic lose 197 to the Los Angeles Clippers to fall to 42-31 on the season. 11 games over 500, still exciting and all that stuff. Stinks because the home court stuff is really falling apart here. I shouldn't say falling apart. 25-11 at Kia Center is still very impressive, but the single digit losses looked really good earlier. We get a super chat here from Isaac Ford. Oh, we had one earlier. Sorry, Soul Train was first. He said Magic would be scary with a guard that can get 40 plus. Imagine. Then we have Isaac Ford says when Paolo used to have a positive plus minus in games, heart. It's coming, guys. It's coming. Thank you guys for the super chats. It is coming. All right. Wow, what a great time to pull up the scores, because we see that the Sixers and Cavs, 2-point game with 28 seconds left. Very interesting. And down here we have the useless Portland Trailblazers down by 46 right now to the Miami Heat. Yeah, I said that right, 46. those same Trailblazers better come into Amway, or Amway, I can't believe I did that. It's the first time I've done that all season long. Come into Kia Center on Monday. Those same Trailblazers better show up. I don't want to see the Trailblazers have the best game of the season on Monday. No, we can't do that. The Knicks have come all the way back against the Spurs. You hate to see that. The Knicks were down by 20-something in the second quarter. Now they are down by just 3 with 11:30 to go. I assume the Knicks will come back and win that game. I'd be shocked if the Spurs held on, which is going to be tough. The game that really matters that's already final is the Pacers beat the Lakers by 19. 109-90. Impressive win for the Pacers tonight over the Los Angeles Lakers, despite 24-15 from Anthony Davis. Really, really matters for the standings. And I'm going to stall a little bit here. I'm going to come to the chat while we stall here for this this Sixers-Cavs result, because there's 28 seconds left here. Let me come back to the chat and see what you guys had to say here. Soul Train says, the only difference between the Magic, Cavs, and Thunder is that the Magic don't have a guard that can get you 40 points occasionally. 100%. Not even close to it. We have a guard that can maybe get us 25 off the bench. Maybe, if he's feeling like it. Cole. Outside of that, we don't have anybody. Anybody close to that. Imagine if we had a guy that can score a little better. Yeah, it'd be pretty impressive. Man, this is a good point. Says Zubac is feasting. Goga would have slowed him down. I think that's a great point. I think I think Bitadze absolutely could have gotten some minutes and play well against Zubac. I think you're totally right about that. Even if it's like a 8-minute stretch even. The hard part is that Mo Wagner was also playing really well. And so, yeah. But yeah, I think you're totally right. Arto says, I didn't like conceding the switch onto Suggs. That's what really killed us late in the game. I don't know. Jalen Suggs, such a good defender. I didn't mind it. I wish maybe Jalen went for the strip on that that shot there at the end. Oh, the 76ers scored here. Okay, they're only down one. Jalen went for the swipe down instead of contesting the shot. I wish maybe he would try to contest the shot. I know he's smaller, but you never know. It didn't really bother. I understand what you're saying. To me, it didn't really bother me because Jalen's such a good defender. Nathan says, I think Franz is exhausted. He played a lot of basketball over the last year. I would like to see him take a summer off, but I understand that he won't since he wants to play for the national team. Yeah, it's a tough place for him to be right now. Tough place. Skipping ahead a little bit here. We did just get a super chat here from Shahin. He says, Mo's should have trusted his guys and challenge. He's wasted his challenge on worse plays. That's true. Should have sold high on Dell or not. Also, like and sub. First off, thank you so much for that. That's a great point. If you are hanging out with us tonight, please hit that like button. This is fun to be hanging out here at almost 10 o'clock on a Friday night after a very disappointing loss. So please, if you're enjoying the content, whether it's just tonight or the entire season, if you've been hanging out with us, please hit that like button. We're coming down the final stretch. Every like matters. Thank you, Shahin, so much for that super chat. Also says, should have trusted his guys and made that challenge. Again, I don't disagree with you. I think a challenge probably would have been the right move there. But unfortunately, didn't happen there. Isaac says, Pacers can beat good teams. Must be nice. Here's the thing. It's kind of crazy. Three teams. I got this stat from Luke Sylvie, by the way. Three teams in the Eastern Conference are 500 or better against teams that are 500 or better. Of course, the Boston Celtics are one. The Milwaukee Bucks are the second. And the Indiana Pacers are the only other team in the Eastern Conference that have a above 500 record against teams that are above 500. Impressive. You're right. Pacers beat good teams. It's kind of interesting. Colin, I'm glad you said this. Marcin Gortat in the building tonight. Sad that we let the Polish hammer down. Yeah. Always have a soft spot for Marcin Gortat. Super fun to see him in the building tonight. Soul Train says, luckily Paolo is young and can afford to work heavily in the summer. He just needs to be smart with recovering. Yeah, here's the thing with Paolo. This is a game that he's going to look at. You talk about working in the summer. This will be a game he looks at in the summer. This will be one of them where he looks back and goes, okay, what did I do here? How did Kawhi Leonard, Paul George handle what I did? How did they combat it? How did they stop it / force a turnover? And what can I do differently next time? / how can I learn from Kawhi and PG on how I can defend these moments? You know, tonight was just a learning experience for this team. Unfortunately, it could be a costly one when you look at the standings, but a learning experience for this team. So Philly and Cleveland are clearly playing the foul game, as only about 2 seconds have passed in the last 5 minutes of me talking. But yeah, wow. Trailblazers are now almost down by 50. Hate to see that. Isaac said, Pacers also get smoked by bad teams, though. That's facts. That is facts. Jeremy says, did Luke get that stat from Lockdown Magic? Because Philip was talking about that on the pod. I'm not sure. I don't know if he got that from Philip or if they both saw it from the same place, or I have no idea. No idea. Shout out to Philip Rossman-Reich, by the way. The pod father. Time-lapse says, we also have tough decisions to make on Wendell and Fultz this summer. Absolutely. Big-time decisions. Big-time decisions. I think one of those is easier than others. As much as it hurts to say. One of those is easier than others. All right, while we're waiting for this game, let's go ahead and look at, let's do our spreadsheet. Why not? Why not? Let's go to our spreadsheet. Good time to run a spreadsheet. These are old games. Let's get rid of these two. I forgot to do that. Here we go. Okay, tonight, these are the games that are going on. Obviously, we'll look at the Sixers-Cavs score here in a little bit. Tomorrow, the only game of significance is the Magic playing the Grizzlies at home. Then, Sunday night is interesting. You get two gimmies for the Heat and the Sixers. Heat play Washington. Sixers play the Raptors. But then over here, this is interesting. The New York Knicks host the Oklahoma City Thunder, who have had some bad losses lately. And then the Cavs play in Denver to start their West Coast road trip. Look at this stretch here for the Cavs, by the way. At Denver, at Utah, second night of back-to-back at Phoenix, then at Lakers, and second night of back-to-back at Clippers. That's crazy. Crazy. But yes, Sunday, Thunder, Nuggets. That's a big set of games there for the Knicks and Cavs, respectively. Yeah, the other two, though, I wouldn't count on the Wizards or Raptors to help the Magic out. That's for sure. Interesting set of games here over this weekend, which is why the game that's happening right now is super, super important for the Magic. I'm talking about Sixers-Cavs, which is still somehow have 12 seconds left in this game. What is going on in this game, and why is it taking so long? I'm going to have to pull it up on my phone. I committed once again to seeing a game through, and we're going to do it. Unless it goes to overtime. If this game somehow magically finds a way to go to overtime, okay, it's over. Cavs win 117 to 114. Okay. So this is gonna have big implications here. I'm gonna pull up these scores again. Big implications here for the Magic. Because it's not trending in the right direction here for the Magic on these standings. I need ESPN to make this game go final so that the standings can properly reflect this. I'm going to refresh this for now, and I'll refresh it here in a second. Because, let's see, 44. Okay, so this does not reflect the Cavs victory that just happened. The Orlando Magic right now are now 2.5 games back of the Knicks. That feels pretty, not quite insurmountable, but pretty close to it. If you didn't notice on that spreadsheet, I already took the Bucks out. We're not catching the Bucks. We're 4 games back. It's not happening. The thing that's really troublesome, though, is the Magic are now just 1 game ahead of the Indiana Pacers. Just 1 game. That hurts. The good thing is you own the tiebreaker. So the Pacers would have to finish a full game ahead of the Magic to be ahead of the Magic. But a game is a game. So the Magic now just have a 1-game lead over the Indiana Pacers. Additionally, because the Heat are going to win this game, the Magic will only have a 2-game lead over the Miami Heat. Not good. It's not good. Especially because the Heat do own the tiebreaker. So the Magic would have to finish a game ahead of the Heat to be ahead of the Heat in the standings. Which means also the Magic are only 2 games out of the play-in. So we knew this 4-game stretch would be tough. We really wanted a 2-2. You go 1-3. Hate to see that, but this is the stretch where the Magic can start to rack up some more wins and maybe gain a little bit of space between those teams that are behind you. Looking here to the schedule, before we come back to the standings once they're refreshed, it starts tomorrow. You get Memphis at home, then Monday you get Portland at home. I know tomorrow's the second night of a back-to-back, but you have to go 2-0 in these games. You have to. You absolutely have to beat the Grizzlies and the Blazers. You have to. You also have to beat the Hornets. So you have to go 3 out of 4 here, period. No buts about it. Have to. You can beat New Orleans. We've proven that. You just proved it last week. But that's a tough game. New Orleans is a tough team. You're on the road. I wouldn't write that down as a win. But you have to win 3 of the next 4. And then you have to at least split the Chicago and Houston games. And then who knows? Hopefully the Bucks by then, and it looks like it, the Bucks will maybe not have a lot to play for, maybe anything to play for in those last, you know, two games that we have against them, but we'll see. We will see. All right, coming back here to the standings, I'm going to refresh this because the Cavs game... Okay. That did include that game. Did it? That must have included that game. They must be 44 and 29. That might be accurate then. I thought they were 44 and 29 coming into this. I don't know, guys. I'm about out of time here. But there it is. Okay. That's what I was looking for. They are 45 and 29. So the Magic are 2.5 games back of 4. 2.5 games back of 3. 1 game up on 6. And they are about to be 2 games up on 7. It is a little bit dicey, folks. That 4 seed that we were hoping for, the 3 seed that we were hoping for, starting to look a little more cloudy. Not out of reach yet. Not out of reach, especially considering the Cavs. That schedule we just looked at. Brutal schedule coming up for the Cavs. Knicks, on the other hand, let's just look at the Knicks really fast. We'll wrap it up with this. I'll go to the chat after this. We'll hit this schedule, go to the chat, and we'll call it a night. Knicks, not that tough of a schedule, right? I mean, you get OKC that we talked about on Sunday. That's a tough one. Although, actually, I need to check on this Knicks game. They're down 8 with 8 minutes to go. Okay. Come on, San Antonio. That would be kind of crazy. But then OKC on Sunday, that's a very tough game. Miami, who knows what Miami team is going to show up there. Sacramento, that's a tough game. Milwaukee, will they still be playing for something? Who knows? You get 2 Chicago games at Boston. Boston has everything already clinched. Boston will have nothing to play for that night. And then Brooklyn and Chicago to close it out. It's a lot of winnable games. I expect Chicago to get one of those maybe. Sacramento, Miami, Oklahoma City. Tough games. Outside of that, it's a lot of wins for the Knicks. I think the 3 seed is looking pretty tough. But the 4 seed, I think, is still very much for the taking. So we'll see what happens. The big thing for the Magic, they got to stay out of the play-in. They got to keep Miami at bay. Unfortunately, the Magic number is still 8. I was hoping the Magic could win this night so that number could go down. But yeah, the Magic number is still 8. 8 wins, a combination of 8 wins or Heat losses. That's the Magic number. All right. Last thoughts here from the chat. We got a call tonight. I've gone 42 minutes and a loss. That's gross. Yep, Cavs won. That's awesome. Yasiel says, what if the Magic lose to Memphis? That would be tragic. Second night of back-to-back, always tough, but you cannot lose that game tomorrow after losing tonight. Didalo says, good. Thank you, Cavs. We're looking down at teams like the 76ers, not up at the Cavs and Knicks. I don't know. I'm still looking up. I'm greedy. I'm still looking up, but I definitely understand why some people are doing that. Steven says, as long as we're not in the play-in and win the division over the Heat, I'll be satisfied. I agree, man. That'd be awesome. Home court advantage is what I really want, but we'll see. Matthew says, the Magic are going to win the next 2 because if not, then why even play in the playoffs for an easy sweep for the opponent? This team has serious work to do. We'll see. And Soul Train says, I still believe you and me both. That's going to do it for us tonight. Thanks for hanging out, everybody. It's been a fun one, even though it was a loss. I still feel more positive about this loss than I did the other 2. We'll be right back tomorrow, though. Magic, Grizzlies, 7 o'clock tip-off. Win, loss, doesn't matter. We'll be right back here to recap it all. Got to get a win. Got to find a way to win that game tomorrow against the Memphis team that you're definitely better than. So enjoy your Saturday, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow. But until then, you know, let's go. Magic.